Welcome to What Are You Into, where we talk about sex in an open and honest way. I'm your host, Kelly Hudson. Thanks for being here, guys. I am really excited about this episode. We have Ella Darling, who is an incredible porn performer and the original VR cam girl. This is a great interview. I think you're going to love it. And I'm actually calling this the season finale. I've been doing episodes pretty regularly for about a year now, and I think it's time to close this one out and start a new chapter. And that does not mean that I'm not going to be doing this show anymore. It means that I'm going to be planning for a new season. You may have also seen an Instagram story that I posted about the fact that I'm pregnant, which is super exciting. And here I am officially announcing it to listeners. Baby's due in September. Very excited, very tired, very airheady. And I don't know if you've ever been pregnant before, but your fucking your brain, it's hard to operate normally. Also, as you can see, I'm out of breath, which I feel like happens constantly now. So all that is to say that this will be the last episode for a while. You can always get in touch with me at citizenhudson@gmail.com and reach out to me on Instagram at whatareyouinto and catch up on old episodes while you're at it. You can also catch me on a few other podcasts that I've been guesting on recently. One of them is The Phony and Collie Show, and one of them is A Funny Feeling. And those were so much fun to do, and I really encourage you to listen to both of them. They were very woo-woo conversations, both of them. And yeah, I don't know if you're interested in the astral plane, but we get into it. So listeners, this is not goodbye, but it's I'll see you in a few months, I hope. And I really just hope you love this episode as much as I do. And then go immediately to Ella Darling's OnlyFans and become a free subscriber, because why not? Okay, enjoy. Ella Darling, welcome to What Are You Into?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. I've been wanting to talk to a porn performer for so long, and it's kind of hard to access them, you know? It's just sort of like reaching out directly. It's sort of like this tricky gray area, and it's like I don't want to like take advantage of people's time, and I'm just really glad that I had a connect to you.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
So I guess I just wanted to talk about how you got into doing porn in the first place, or if you've done any other kind of sex work that led to it, or how that all started.
So I had a long time ago a pretty shitty view on sex work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had the things that I just get frustrated with now, like, mm-hmm. oh, they're victims, they're taking advantage of them, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. But then here's the thing. I got my master's degree in library and information science when I was 21. Mm-hmm. I was the associate director of a library. I work in data and facts and knowledge and questioning beliefs. And so I challenged my beliefs one day. I was like, wait, if that's true, then why do they seem so happy? Like, I know a few cam girls, and it's like, they seem like they're really killing it, like in life overall. So how about I make myself a little bit uncomfortable, challenge myself and see, like look into it a little bit. So I found this gig on Craigslist for hardcore bondage, but it was mm-hmm. fully clothed, not nude. And so it was mm-hmm. still within my comfort zone. I've been modeling since I was 18. Mm-hmm. So I reached out and I fully expected to have a really uncomfortable day and be treated kind of gross and mm-hmm. talked down to and stuff. I felt more comfortable on that porn set. I felt more respect from that director than I felt in my job as the associate director of a library. Like the mayor of the Holy town that shit. I worked for treated me shittier than this porn director did. And I made more in an hour than I made in a day at my job that I had to get a master's degree to do. So yeah, then I started looking for more similar gigs. I didn't know it at the time, but there were and are today a lot of people who shoot clips for clip stores, like clips for sale, or these days OnlyFans. And so there were actually a fair number of like kind of fetish producers. And so I started doing that stuff, and I just like had such a blast with it. It was fun. It was like playing pretend and feeling kind of sexy and making fucking bank. I mean, compared to what I earned as a librarian anyway. But yeah, so I did that for maybe 2 months, and then I connected with the person I would eventually fall in love with and who would eventually become my ex-husband. And he lived in LA, and I was like, if I'm gonna do this, this is kind of the time. Like, my degree's always gonna be there. Librarians are famously open-minded people and will fight for your rights.
That's
Specifically,
true. That's true. I've never met a librarian that I didn't like get along with, like agree with.
librarians have gone to prison for like during the Patriot Act times for not complying with information demands, like for demands on their users. So yeah, I decided to move to LA, and that's where porn was mainly based at the time. And yeah, just started looking for gigs. I got a gig as what was it? It was Amateur Girl of the Week for a site called fuckingmachines.com. It's under the kink.com umbrella.
So fucking machines is that machine with the like stick that mechanically fucks you?
Yeah,
Yes, I've
there's
seen a
lots of.
fucking machine. Yes.
I have one under my bed.
Oh, fantastic.
I have one on
And
top of my
like
bed too, but if
and
that's a person.
do you like buy those like or are they can you put them together yourself? Like sometimes you'll see fucking machines and it looks like someone like kind of rigged something from Home Depot.
Sometimes they are, and I have mad respect for people who are that, industrious. But the one I have, I actually did a remote shoot for Fucking Machines, maybe last spring, and the director, Five Star, who is amazing and kicks ass, and I adore her. She actually gave me just, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars credit to the kink store to just buy stuff to use in the scene. And so she sent me a fucking machine. If you're going to get one, here's my only advice. The dildos that come with it are not always top quality and not always like what you want in your body. So either use a condom or replace it with something better.
Get your own dildo. That's so interesting. I'm so excited that we're getting advice like which fucking machine to buy and
They're
how to
actually really
shop.
affordable. I think this is like
That's
120 bucks or
fantastic.
something.
That's amazing. I mean, that's how much a really good vibrator or dildo costs. Like, so yeah, why not also get a fucking machine? That's incredible. That is so cool. That is so interesting, that whole what dildos and vibrators are made of. Thing, how it was just so unregulated for so long because of how the products were sold, because of the laws surrounding how you sell those products, people could get away with fucking murder with the like garbage chemicals they were putting inside you.
The first vibrator I ever owned was one of those disgusting, like jelly, like
Oh
so
God.
kind of, it was so it's
I had
it was
one
like
too.
they're
Everything stuck to
terrible.
it. It was like fuzzy.
Yeah, it's like those gummy hands you used to get from the quarter machine. They're bad. Okay, so you grew up in Texas, right?
Yes, I did. I grew up in Austin, actually, and which is where
So
you're based out of right now, yeah?
that's where I'm at. I grew up in Denton up north.
Oh, wow. Denton, Texas.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's,
It's like
yeah.
baby Austin with more
Yeah.
tech.
Of course.
So when I turned 18, I went to the store to get it, and the lady at the sex store was like, okay, so it was kind of like when you go to a head shop to buy a water pipe or a glass tobacco pipe, whatever. It's like, don't say
Exactly.
bong, don't say bong. We'll have to kick you out. But she was like, so these are novelty cake toppers. And I'm like, what? She's like,
What?
well, we're not in Texas legally, we're not allowed to use some words. So these are novelty cake toppers. So if you would like something for perhaps a novelty brownie topper, I'm like, oh my God, lady, you are having so much fun with this and I love it for you, but I hate that you have to.
Yes, it's very upsetting. It's also funny that like it's acceptable for you to be a huge pervert, a big enough pervert that you would have a butt plug on top of your cake at your wedding.
Oh man, if ever I remarry.
I know. Now with that, yeah, I've planted the idea for a lot of people now. Oh my gosh. Well, that's so amazing. Do you think, from an outside perspective of the industry, I've of course heard horror stories and thought about how scary it would be to be kind of in these situations with production companies run by men and trying and feeling like, maybe I would be put in some horrible situations, which of course that was your kind of expectation going in too. Do you think that you got lucky, or do you think that that's like the general experience?
I honestly think it's the general experience. I mean, just like any job, just like any industry, there's some real dickheads out there.
Totally.
One thing that really, really sucks is that there are these organizations out there that perpetuate those ideas. And because of them, I'm like not allowed to have a bad day at work. If I have a bad day at work, they'll seize on it like it's some
Oh, totally.
grotesque nightmare. It's like, you know what? No, I just, the dude was kind of boring and stupid, or, they
Yeah.
ran way too late, or there weren't enough snacks on. So, like, nothing bad. It's just
Yeah.
normal
You
film
run
set.
into shitty personalities at work all the time. Like, of
And that's
course.
not to say that there haven't been, certainly there have been some shitty situations that the people experience. I've been very lucky in that I haven't had anything like that happen. Well, I don't think it's super common, but I just don't want to diminish or dismiss the idea that certainly there are performers who have had really bad experiences, but it's not the
Totally.
norm. Even working for, I mean, I was a little intimidated about working for like dude directors, but they're so chill, pretty much all of them. One of them, this guy, God, Mike Nova. Shit, I'm such an asshole. I need to remember his name. Sorry, I still love you. Anyway,
He's listening.
I
Please
get this.
remember me.
It's hard because it's like, okay, I know your real name, and I definitely don't want to say that one out loud, but
Oh,
whatever.
gotcha. So most people have stage names that they use for the industry.
Almost everybody, and that comes down to just being part of his branding, but it's really a matter of safety because there are some fucking psychos out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I've thought about a lot, even just having a sex podcast. It's like, well, a lot of people in my life that I know, extended family, what have you, who would think that this is like horrifying what I'm doing. Like, my name's just out there. It's very searchable. It's just out there. And it's like, I have a kid. I think about it sometimes. I'm like, should I have done this? Should I have gone about this a different way? But it's like, no, I'm so me, and I'm already this like personality, and I want it to be about me, but it's like I do run that risk in our society still, which is so fucking sad.
I think about that, even though I don't use my legal name, I think about that in terms of, someone has called my mother at her work to like tattle on me.
Love
And
it.
she was just like, "Why are you telling me this? Do you, I'm sorry, is this something you're super interested in?" And he's like, No, I'm a good Christian." She was like, "Okay, well then why are you calling me at work to talk about pornography? Is that good Christian values, do you think?" Has my back. Has my fucking back.
Oh, that's
But
beautiful. I love
yeah.
that.
So most days on set, though, the worst thing I experience is boredom, and like I have so much other shit to do, and I'm just sitting around and waiting because, bitch walks in 30 minutes late with Starbucks in her hands. It's
Totally.
whatever. But yeah, okay, so Mr. Nova, the director, I'll like
Yes.
get on set for a lesbian shoot, and I'll lay out all my like lingerie and all my stuff and the high heels and stuff, and he's like, I know you want to wear your cowboy boots. You can just wear your cowboy boots in the scene. It's fine. Only for girl girl, but it's fine.
That is so sweet.
He's
I love
stupid.
it. It's so interesting. I mean, my experience lies in acting, and I definitely never became a professional model, but I went to modeling school as a kid and sort of really contemplated that industry a lot as a possibility. And of course, I've had lots of lots of experience auditioning, some experience on set. And it's so interesting. It seems like, I want to say it's almost like a shittier time being a straight actor than being a porn actor. And it's like, it really reminds me of something someone said on the show one time. She said, if only the world could be as safe as a well-run sex club.
Same with porn sets, though. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like a parallel there.
Oh, man. Okay, so yeah, I've spent some time on some like mainstream film sets. And man, if I hate the waiting around on a porn set, that's mm-hmm. so much worse.
So much worse, yeah.
You're at the behest of these people who have a shit ton of money, whereas on a porn set, they've got 5 scenes they have to film and they need to get home to feed their kid. So let's go.
Everyone has the same priorities.
Yeah, and like the budgets for porn compared to mainstream movies, I can make 10 pornos for what some like indie shorts spend to create their shit. Where the hell was I going with this? Anyway, yeah. Oh, modeling. So I've been modeling since I was 18. Some fashion modeling, some alt modeling, some just like whatever, shooting with some shitty photographer who I'm not skilled enough yet to know is a shitty photographer.
Exactly,
But I've done some runway, and man, the only runway I've enjoyed doing was for my friend who's a latex designer, and because she's like industry adjacent.
Right.
But it's more fun. It's more chill. Everybody has this sort of shared experience. No matter how different you are from each other, we're all in this marginalized part of society, this marginalized class that isn't a protected class. So there's sort of this mutual common, like sort of outlaw aspect to all of our personalities a little bit.
Right. Sort of you guys are each other's protectors.
Yeah.
See that that vulnerability in each other. So it's kind of like an inherent family vibe. Mm-hmm. Wow. I totally see that, because just thinking about the modeling industry, how you're treated, how I know a lot of models are treated, is sort of just treated like nobody. And then like, even when you get a job, you're still nobody. And it's just like, when are you somebody? I don't understand. Like, where's the family? Where's the community? That's not important. It's just about the clothes. It's just about the money. And you're an object.
You're a glorified coat hanger, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. That is so interesting. I never thought about it, that being part of a marginalized community like creates that warm atmosphere.
There are some people I really just don't click with.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody ever came for them for being a sex worker, gloves are fucking off.
Yes. I love it. That is amazing. So I'd love to hear about your experience in how many years have you been doing this? Would you feel comfortable telling me?
Porn or?
Yeah, doing. Yeah, porn specifically.
October will be my 13th porniversary.
Okay, so 13 years, I feel like that's a pretty healthy chunk to have seen a million things change. Because if I'm thinking back 13 years ago, you know, I was 25, my porn experience as a user was a website that was super basic. It was like lists of words, and like you would like click on a description, and then it would take a long time to download, but then sometimes it wouldn't even be, most of the time it wasn't video clips, it was like pictures. And so like the industry has just done an insane 180 since then. What has it been like to be where in your position during all those changes?
So there have been a lot of changes, I'll say, since I started. A number of the changes that I've experienced isn't necessarily a change in porn. It's a change in technology and the way that we consume entertainment. So
exactly.
The shift to online streaming from DVDs, stuff like that. The gig economy has been big. The gig economy, you know, bled into the adult industry and created so much good for our community. So when I first started, it was very common for performers to have their own like websites that their fans would subscribe to.
Yeah.
Sort of like OnlyFans now, except you had to do everything yourself.
Right.
Big mainstream studios were still paying a lot of money. Cam sites were just emerging. Well, they weren't just emerging. They'd been around for a while, but they were probably equally successful.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it got to the point where nobody's running their own personal sites anymore. Nobody subscribes to them. It's not worth the time, effort, and money. your best bet is just to make a good impression and maybe get an agent. Agents suck, but mm-hmm. like there's maybe two good agents, but get someone who will help you get hired and, you know, cast you in a film, in a scene. And so it's very, especially back then, it was very feast or famine. Some months I would be like, I don't know if I'm gonna earn enough for rent this month. And some months would be the most money I'd ever made in a month in my life.
Right, right.
So you have to be really good at financial management, self-promotion. Mm-hmm. You have to-
Hiring a web designer, all that shit.
Or learning it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then I mentioned clip stores. Mm-hmm. A lot of performers, if they were having sort of a down period, would just take custom orders and post them to the clip sites. And clips for sale looks exactly like it did at least 13 years ago. It is very, it's like, you guys are just, it's not that you're not trying to modernize, it's that you're just really leaning into it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, then, you know, porn sales really took a dip. Pirating really hit us hard. And there was a shift from, you know, it used to be at AVN, all of the big studios were the sponsors and they had huge booths and stuff. And now it's straight up just the cam studios. Cam studios are sponsoring everything. They're taking up all of the space because they have the money to. And for good reason, because as a performer, with a cam site, I can choose my own schedule. I can choose how far I want to go, exactly what I want to do, what I feel like doing today, how I want to look today, whatever. I'm completely, completely in control. And it's not that I don't have autonomy and agency on set. It's just, I'm still, you know, I'm acting out someone else's vision. And on a cam site, I'm connecting one-to-one with my fans in a much more authentic way that builds my brand so much stronger. And this, of course, carries into sites like OnlyFans. And I used to work for a company called Unlocked. They're great. You should check them out. They're very, very ethical. They will never deplatform porn stars or adult film creators. So
wow,
they're very, very good people. Mm. But yeah, with OnlyFans, I avoided it for a while strictly because I hate editing video of myself.
Yeah.
And I know myself to be the biggest procrastinator when it comes to actually setting up the camera and filming something.
Yeah, but same.
Yeah, but back in 2020, when I was moving to Austin, I had just ended my business with my business partner. We were doing some VR broadcasting stuff. He was also my roommate, and we were no longer going to be working together or living together. He moved to Austin also. He's still one of my best friends, but it was like, I need something to fill the social gap and
right.
fill my time.
Right.
And holy shit, it has been great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I stopped for a while because I was, for about 4 or 5 months, I was working with Unlocked. I was working, just kind of taking on some contracts here and there, and I just didn't have time for it. And I was honestly kind of burnt out. And so I just set it to free because I didn't think it was ethical to charge people $6.66 a month for nothing.
$6.66. I love it. The devil is involved.
Hell yeah. But yeah, as a result, I just picked it back up a couple weeks ago, and my followers or subscribers, even though they're all free, has grown more than an order of magnitude. And I have so much better reach now, and I'm so much more enthusiastic about it because you're not paying anything for this. I can post as often as I want.
Oh, that's great. Deal with it. It's like social media. It's like
yeah.
your own site. That's really
It's like
cool.
horny Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Instagram is becoming less and less horny in the most annoying fucking ways, where just like the discrimination against like queer people, people who aren't thin, like it's just it's a nightmare on there right now. It's just like
yeah.
I'm ready to leave.
Yeah, kind of hate it there, but
fucking sucks. Yeah, but that's really cool. And it's really nice to hear that the changes that happened within the industry technology-wise gave you a leg up, because I didn't realize that the gig economy was still working for a lot of people, you know, because it's
yeah.
just fucking been pulled out from under so many people, like Uber drivers and what have you, just like they just keep changing it so that it's less and less of a good deal for anyone.
If you think about it, you know how they talk about sex work is the world's oldest gig economy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. profession, but now it's gig
profession.
economy. Yes.
Exactly. Another thing that is really great that I've noticed is since I started, there have been more and more performers transitioning to directing for companies, getting hired for companies. I mean, I kind of semi-retired from filming in 2016 because we'll get into it because of the VR company that I started. But having companies hire from within the community because it's really hard to transition out of sex work. So if you're kind of burnt out on it, having companies willing to actually hire you for, office and executive positions is great. And more female directors and company owners in general. I don't know exactly who is in charge right now, but at one point, Hustler, Penthouse, and Playboy were all run, at least on a mostly executive level, by women.
Oh, wow.
You wouldn't guess, would you?
Absolutely not. That's so refreshing to hear.
Yeah.
So let's talk about VR.
Yes.
I'm gonna get into like I'm just gonna tell you my perspective of VR. My neighbor has an Oculus, and so I was he let me test it out. The first thing he had me do was go do this like program that you go in an elevator to the top of a building and you walk out on a plank of wood, and the graphics are terrible, and your brain is still fully convinced that you're hundreds of feet off the ground. I totally froze. Like my palms were sweaty. I thought I was dying and like falling, and you fall off this plank and it's like holy fucking shit. Like nothing is changing for me gravity-wise other than what I'm seeing and hearing. And it's wild. And then he was like, "Okay, now do you want to watch porn?" And I was like, "Yes." I have to see what this is like. So the porn I saw, I think, he just showed me the first thing he found, and it was really interesting. I mean, for someone that's always wanted a dick, it was pretty exciting because the one that I watched was like a POV from a man, and then there was a woman on top of him. The angle was a little difficult. Like I was like, okay, I need to be like laying in a bed to like. Because it was just like, you can't see my body, but I was like, this, like, just like recoiled backwards. Like, oh my God, you're on top of, like, it was so intense. And it's the kind of thing that, like, I would love to, like, try by myself, not in my neighbor's backyard, just to, like, get the full thing, because it was really crazy. It was like, this is intimacy. This is like someone's body right in front of me, in such a different way. And so the experience was, even though completely overwhelming and like, I can't move my hands. I don't know what's going on. It's so interesting, the potential. So I'd love to hear how you got into it, how you became, did you say the first VR cam girl? Oh my goodness. So how did that opportunity come up?
So I was already really interested in VR. This was in, oh shit, 2014, I want to say. It was the spring after the Oculus Rift Kickstarter had completed and gotten funded. And I approached technology through two lenses. How can I fuck with it, or how can people watch me fuck with it? So with VR, it was pretty obvious. But at the time I was like barely a C-list girl porn star. Like I wasn't famous. I'm not famous, but certainly back then I'm not going to be your first choice for, this really cool new thing. But I didn't really have I wasn't tech savvy enough to do it myself. And so I was literally jerking off in bed, just scrolling Reddit one day, and I saw someone post about how they want to make VR porn, but they don't know how to like get porn star or how to get access to porn stars. And they tried reaching out to agents. They didn't even bother responding, which of course they didn't. But so I was like, oh hell yes. Oh hell yes. Let's fucking go, man. And
Oh, that's so exciting. So lucky.
I know. And so I reached out to this producer and we talked a little, and eventually they fly me out to they were based in Maryland, so they fly me out to DC. Free vacation to visit my best friend.
Oh, that's
Cool. Take
great.
it. Yeah. And so I go to the train station to meet up with this producer, and I'm looking around, and I don't see, there's no one here that looks like a porn producer, but like serial killers, they look like everyday people, so you never know.
Yes, totally.
So I see like some business suit dudes who work in the Capitol. I see some mom with a stroller. I see some teenage kid. I'm just like, okay, did I get ghosted? Like, did you fly me out here to ghost me? I mean, that's cool, whatever. And then this fucking teenage kid walks up to me and he's like, oh, are
Oh,
you Ella?
shit.
I was like, are you an adult?
Let me see your driver's license immediately.
He's like, yeah, I'm 20. I was like, barely legal, natural in this industry. Okay, let's go.
Perfect, yeah.
So we get on the train to go to shoot, and we're just making small talk. I'm like, so are we shooting like in an actual studio, or is it someone's like house or apartment? Because that is super, super normal, super typical in porn. We don't
Yeah.
fucks with film permits. No, thank
Right.
you.
Right.
He was like, yeah, it's my apartment. I was like, okay, cool. And we get there, and it is his college dorm.
Yikes! Like on campus.
Yeah, or I think it was on campus. It was
Oh
like
my
apartment
God.
style. So he had his own room and bathroom at least, but it was still like, okay, cool. His roommates, who were all physics majors, so in Maryland, so imagine a porn star from LA walks in dressed like a toddler with permissive parents. And his roommates and some of their friends are playing Dungeons and Dragons around their kitchen table, and they just look at me like I have two heads or something, and like, oh, cool, you guys are playing Dungeons and Dragons? That's neat. Like, which edition? I'm a half elf ranger.
It. You're my people.
Yes, this is great. I love it. Tell me all about your campaign.
Oh my
And
God.
so director dude brings me back to his bedroom to set my stuff down because that's where the VR camera he built was set up. And when I came out like 5 minutes later or less, ghost town. And it's like, wow, guys, did you even calculate, like, I don't know. Did you level up? Like, do you even know what your next spells are gonna be? Because I don't know, I guess I'm more dedicated to the craft.
That's really funny. You're like, what
So
happened to the game? Okay.
yeah, take it seriously. So yeah, we shoot and it went really pretty well. It was a 180 degree 3D camera mounted on a wall, so the whole room was captured. So I had to kind of just self-direct. And he was just like, okay, get in there and make the porno. So I just pretended like I was camming and talking to the camera like someone I am very romantically and sexually interested in. And
Yeah.
the result was awesome. I hate watching my own porn, but this was the first time I felt like this is amazing. This
Wow.
it felt humanizing in a way
Yeah.
that, yeah. And a couple weeks later I fly home, we stay in touch, and he asked if I wanted to be his business partner because he and I had nothing in common, which is great because we have no overlapping skill sets and we excel in completely different ways. So it's very balanced.
Wow.
Yeah, so we did the 180 3D porn. We dabbled in 360 3D porn, but it was clear that this is going to be huge and other big companies are going to come into this space and we need to find something like some angle that'll set us apart.
Right.
He's an incredible coder. So we decided to try doing, it's called volumetric video, where you're capturing the video but also spatial data. So we did some of that. I bring my friends over, shoot them, set the capture space on three axes so it's just their body isolated in space, and then place them into a digitally rendered like bedroom.
Oh my goodness.
We tried a brief stint of making a dating simulator app where you're in a cafe with me and you have to, it's sort of, okay, so I introduce myself and you have a few options of what to say back. And
Choose your own
then,
adventure.
yeah, but there's a
Yeah.
secret point system. So if you say something too crass or sexual or mean,
You're
you
losing
lose points
points.
and I'm gone.
I
But
love it.
yeah.
It's training. It's training for people.
Social training, exactly.
Yeah.
And playing that felt like it almost felt like you were really talking to someone. And so we were like, well, fuck it, let's just do that instead. So we made the first ever live VR webcam platform. And I did the first ever live VR cam show out of my bedroom in North Hollywood.
Wow, and does that mean you were interacting with someone real?
Yeah, they could see me and I could like see their chat. And eventually
Wow.
we built it out so you could do like one-on-one shows where I have headphones in and you can see me. I can't see you, obviously. But we could speak just like you and I are speaking now, exactly like this experience, but you would feel like you were actually standing in my
In the room with
bedroom.
you, yeah.
Yeah, we patented a capture technique to create photospheres. So we would take a camera and sort of like put it on a motor that would rotate and take little slivers of photos and then construct them into a sphere that makes it seem like we're live streaming the whole space, but we're only spending the data to stream two camera streams.
Wow. Incredible. Wow, I'm so blown away the serendipitousness of having stumbled upon this post with someone that was like this adept at their craft, and then obviously that you were that adept at your craft and that like willing and able to explore that with them. That is really cool. That feels like just like a really magical birth of a new technology. That's really cool.
It was really cool. My two young idiots, I mean, he was like, he was a genius. I was the young
Wow.
idiot. I don't know, it doesn't matter. But yeah, so that's what we did. From there, after we ended up closing that company and starting just sort of a mainstream live broadcast VR company. So I would show you, except this is an audio medium, so I'll send you
Right.
pictures if you want.
Right.
I learned how to code by building an RC car that we mounted a VR camera on, so people would drive around my living room 24 hours a day. And then the next thing I built was a dog treat dispenser. It's all Arduino based.
Oh my God.
So
Arduino. I remember that word from when I had a boyfriend who was a coder and like a tinkerer. Yeah, I remember that.
So people will come in and buy treats for my dog in VR and chat with us. And we had a really cool community. We closed that down like in 2020, but the community is still like, we still hang out on Discord, sometimes play games together and stuff. And we named it after my dog,
Oh.
my stuffed baby. But
Oh, that's sweet.
yeah, and so now the VR adult stuff I do is I mean, I've shot a couple of VR porn scenes here and there for my friends, but only for my friends. But I work for a company called Vero Play Space, and they do CDI adult experiences, or we call them dreams, that it's interactive and it connects to your haptic sex toy device. So you have a device on your genitalia, whatever your flavor may be, and it will activate your toy in conjunction with what's going on in the scene.
Oh my God. Now that's what everyone's question is about VR is like, yeah, but how do I feel like I'm there? And that is so crazy that that's already happening. What does the word haptic mean? Is that like another word for like robot or like responsive or
I don't know the root of
feel
the word. I should look it up, but it's basically
like?
toys that vibrate or react in response to any
Yeah.
data set that activates it.
An action. Wow, that is so interesting. I think there's like a scene of that happening in that science fiction show Maniac on Netflix. Did you ever see that with like Jonah Hill, and Justin
Oh,
Theroux? Yeah, there's this scene where he's in this like brightly lit, like brightly colored, like cartoon land, and I think he's like a centaur or something, like fucking this beautiful, I don't know, mermaid or something. And it's like, then you cut to him in his room, and he has like this device on his dick, and it's like, whoa, this is like, oh, I just got this flashback to those Aerosmith videos. Do you remember the Aerosmith video?
I
Because
only remember
like,
the ones with Alicia Silverstone where she like
yes.
bungee jumps on her navel ring. It was
Yes,
like.
she doesn't actually bungee jump on her navel ring. She just bungee jumps and she also gets a navel ring in that same like
Okay.
sequence. No,
I
no,
saw it when I was a kid
no.
and I was just so appalled. I was like, that's not
Yes.
how bodies work.
Yes, yes. I remember the navel piercing section of the video being really intense when I was a kid too, being like, "Oh my God," 'cause they would like show them putting it in. But there is another video, I believe, of that same series 'cause they did a few videos with Alicia Silverstone. And one of them is a guy in a room with a virtual reality headset on. It's so interesting how many false starts virtual reality has had, because this was a long, long time ago. This was late 80s, early 90s, where virtual reality was becoming a thing. People heard the word. No one was saying VR yet, but they were saying virtual reality. And it was like, whoa, the possibilities. But it was like no one got into it. No one went for it. Like a handful of like geeks were like, of course I'm getting that. But in this video, it was him picking like, I'm gonna ride a motorcycle. I'm gonna pick this girl to ride the motorcycle with me. Like have this experience. And it was like, I gotta like send you this video because it's totally, it was so exciting to see as a kid to be like, oh my God, I could go on a date with Alicia Silverstone.
Totally.
It's so funny. And there's like a point at which she like stops hugging him or like, and then it's because he spilled a drink on his keyboard.
Oh my
And
God.
she like starts short circuiting.
Oh God. I want to be that girl. Okay, I just, sorry, I thought I muted myself. I didn't. You probably heard some keyboard noises, but
Oh no.
in 1995, Nintendo released the Virtual Boy, and it was
Yes.
so hyped, and it was
Yes.
so shit
Yes,
and
it was just like
frustrating.
red. It was red and
Yeah,
black, right? It
it
was
was
just like playing
terrible.
tennis and you were like real disoriented and the graphics were nothing. It was nothing.
No, it was shit. And aiming it at kids, like maybe you shouldn't have little kids in VR. That's,
Yeah.
I mean, we still, I still don't know that we have the conclusive research as to whether that's like, harmful or if it's maybe not the best choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want kids in VR because VR social spaces are so clogged up with these squeakers. I can't, I'm a grown up and I want to be around grown ups. I don't want to, I feel like a predator hanging out with this fucking child who's also being obnoxious.
Right.
Oh, that brings me back to, okay, so if you're a play space, in addition to the dreams and stuff, we are working on social spaces in VR for adults where initially, like first goal is to have like a private room that you can send a link to your partner or whoever, a stranger. I don't know. I'm not a cop. Do whatever you want. But like you can meet up as avatars in this virtual space and talk to each other, hang out, activate each other's haptic toys, like basically fuck each other or at least jerk each other off in VR in real time.
Wow, that is so cool. What was it like the first time you did that? Was it just like, were you do you were doing it with a client, not a partner, right?
We haven't released it yet, so I haven't done it yet. But
Okay,
when
you
I
haven't.
do it, when I do it, I will probably do it as a promotion for like promotionally. I'm actually in Vero Play Space. I got to direct my own, so there's like a virtual avatar of me in this beautiful like crystalline landscape.
Wow.
But our spokesperson is a virtual cam girl named Vex Ruby. And she's fully motion tracked. She broadcasts on Chatterbait and Cam4, and everything's in real time. She has facial tracking. She's literally the world's most advanced virtual cam girl, or they call them VoodTubers, because the studio she's in is the same kind of motion capture studio that they use for like The Mandalorian.
Wow.
So if when I do, it'll probably be with her, just because also she's like the nicest person in like you'll ever meet, and she's adorable and she's great. I love her so much.
Wow. And is that studio in Austin or is that all in LA?
They're West Coast,
Okay.
but yeah, so she's she's part of what she's under the Vero Playspace umbrella. And so because we've gotten really into like building her up and adding features and just making her as advanced as possible and just having as much fun as possible, we're going to be releasing, I think I'm allowed to say this, I'm allowed to say this, whatever, don't tattle. We're going to be releasing something called LudeTube Studio that will make it so like anybody can do that from their home. They don't have to have a huge expensive motion capture studio. They can just pick up a few products, a few, a little bit of hardware online and do it all themselves.
Yeah, that
And
was what I was going to ask you. Do you have to film all of this stuff in a studio or with someone that has the equipment at this point? Like you don't do you have your own stuff?
I'm gonna be getting like the cheap, affordable setup because what I want to do is I want to create a guide for people who want to test it out. It'll be a little bit of an investment initially, but you'll need trackers just so that you're actually tracked. You can do it where you just have pre-recorded, preset actions, but it's just not as engaging. But
Totally.
yeah, I'll once we launch it, I'll probably do a show as my Ella avatar with my with the trackers on. With we've made a head mount that you basically put an iPhone onto it and it uses mirrors so that it's really super balanced and super ergonomic, because if you're camming, you're doing it for hours versus like the existing headset, the existing mounts for facial capture. They're fucking expensive. I don't
Oh,
know,
yeah.
600, 6,000. We're just 3D printing this for like 150 bucks.
Oh, amazing.
But
Wow.
yeah, it'll make
That
things so
is,
much more accessible.
that's
Yeah.
crazy. That is all very exciting, and a little scary.
Yeah,
But it's mainly like my drawbacks about VR are like I did spend a lot of time on one program where I was rock climbing, and
I hate that one. I
it was
respect it, but I
really,
hate
really
it.
tough. Yeah, really tough. And then when I got out of it, I felt super weird. Like I felt like I was falling, but nothing was happening, and it was an interesting sensation. And I was like, okay, so this is a little bit, there are some drawbacks if you spend like a ton of time. I feel like there should be like a timer, you know, like with hot tubs, like don't be in one for more than 30 minutes or something.
Yeah, I think it's an elev like it's the next step, the next level of. Are you familiar with what is like the Tetris effect?
No.
Okay, so when you pick, this is
When you play
documented.
Tetris, you dream about it. Is that what you're talking
You
about?
see, you just start wanting like you mentally start trying to rearrange things
Yeah,
to
you start
like,
Tetrising everything. Yeah, I know what you're
yeah.
talking about because I used to play it all the time.
Exactly. Man, there was this one game. It was an MMO, and I was playing it. It was called Orbis VR, and so I tested it out the first time. And there's like this group of dudes who are being really obnoxious, not in a shitty way, just like, oh my God, you guys are annoying. And I was running my quest, and they were like, oh, we're doing the same quest. Come join us. I was like, oh my fucking God, I can't stand these guys. And by the end of like by the time we finished the quest, I was like, hell yeah, we're the fucking revengers. I played that game like it was a part-time job.
That's hilarious. You just, yeah, certain things hook you in. That's so funny. Yeah, I guess I kind of want to move on to like your personal sexuality journey. Like, did you have a sex positive upbringing, would you say? Like, 'cause I know you got into this work pretty young.
I didn't have a sex negative experience. I didn't want to talk about sex. Like, my mom was very, like, when I was like 14 or so, I had a boyfriend and we'd been together for some time. And she was just like, hey, so do you want to go on the pill? No other discussion. We don't need to talk about it. Just you can say yes or no. And I was like, yeah, okay. But I still don't want to, I don't want to talk to my family about this shit. I don't want them to talk to me about it. But it wasn't negative, you know?
That's
It
good.
was. It was positive, but
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
that's fantastic. As far as talking to family about sex, I'm definitely one of those people that's excited to have those conversations, and like my son's probably gonna fucking hate me. He's just
He's
gonna be
gonna.
like, please stop. But I think my goal is to never have him feel like I'm negating that it exists, or like negating his pleasure and growth and like all of that. Like, 'cause I want everything the best for my kids, you know? And so like as long as they feel supported or like they can talk about it, that's my main goal. You know what I mean?
They are going to hate it, but they are going to have such a healthy approach and view, and they are going to be such good partners as they grow up, and they will thank you for it, and their partners
Totally.
will appreciate it, even if they don't understand that it's directly because of you. It
Yeah.
is such a good thing that you're doing that. I respect the
Thank
hell out
you.
of that.
Thank you. And there was some very interesting thing, or Dan Savage has always talked about pertaining to pornography. I think a lot of parents, worried parents, are really freaking out about porn and its accessibility for children because, and the main concern, really, I mean, from my perspective, my main concern is like what you're seeing is not what happens, you know? It's not what a real sex experience is like. Sex can be awkward, it can be disappointing, it can be stop and start.
Silly.
Yeah, silly,
Yeah.
like so many human elements that aren't there when you are watching two performers. And Dan Savage said, you know what I would tell your kids is like, let's talk about what you think happens before they start filming. What happens before? Oh, the people probably talk about what they're gonna do, you know? And it's like that conversation that is not present in a lot of porn. I know some porn, they definitely talk about what they're gonna
Yeah.
do, and that's part of it. But like, it is so important, I think, to like explain to children that this is a movie, like, and it's like there's editing involved, and like there's tons of stuff going on before and after that we don't see because it's not part of the pleasure experience, you know?
Yeah. There's definitely some porn that is designed to be educational, but at the end of the day, like, porn isn't sex ed. It's not a stand-in for sex ed. And you need to teach your kids, like, movies are make-believe, and this is a movie. And you don't expect the Fast and the Furious to teach your kid driver's ed. Like, why do you expect us to teach your kids? I don't make porn for kids. I don't want them watching my porn.
Yes, like, yeah.
And look, at some point, humans are humans. Humans are curious at whatever age. So I would say the best thing you can do is exactly what you're saying. We prepare them to approach it mindfully and parent them and just be, you know, do the best you can.
Yeah. But, and not be like, you can't watch porn. It's more like pornography was not made for you. These performers, these people never intended for anyone to see this that's a child. So just so you know, going in, this is not intended for your eyes.
Can I, if you're interested, I can kind of give you a rundown of what actually does happen before and after.
I would love to hear that. And my listeners would too. Oh my God. Yes.
Okay. So you get the casting, the booking, whatever. They email you, they say, hey, are you free to shoot on this day? This is the content. It's boy, girl, girl, anal, whatever. You say yes or no. They give you the address. They give you a rundown of sort of like what it is. You get there. You bring two forms of government issued ID, mandatory. If you don't bring it, you're going home to get it. Let's rewind. At least a day or so before you get to set, and within 2 weeks, you go to one of the testing centers and you get a full STI panel. I think it's like 7 or 8 at this point.
It's like actors with COVID now.
Yeah, I mean,
COVID test before shoot, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think from what I've heard, some of the ways that studios have implemented that that strategy is based on the way that porn has worked for since 2004.
Wow.
Exactly. So you get tested, you have your results, you show up to set, you are already in the system, so your scene partner can check on their end, your director can check. You get there, you've got your bag, your hoe bag full of lingerie, whatever wardrobe they is relevant to the set that day, shoes, maybe makeup if they don't have a makeup artist. They take a photo of your IDs on the table, then you hold them up, we call it bunny ears, you hold it up next to your face. So it's clear that you were present and you're that person.
Right.
You fill out a model release, and then you fill out what's called 2257 paperwork. And it's based on a United States statute 2257, which basically regulates maintaining the documentation on the people who are present. So you list your legal name, your address, every other name you've ever used, whether it's maiden name, performer name, whatever. And so that's the paperwork. That's that part of the process.
Right.
Then you either show up in makeup or you sit in the makeup chair. You pick out the wardrobe with the director, and then we shoot. We call them pretty girls, which is a photo set that is so rote and unimaginative. It's basically like, okay, come over here in your lingerie, face the camera, do two more poses. Okay, turn to the side. Okay, it's like getting like mugshots. Like, okay, now turn around, let's shoot your ass. Okay, full rotation. Okay, bra off, same thing. Panties off, same thing. All right, let's do some spreads. Let's do, you know, whatever. Cool, got it. And then,
and like, those are just pictures that they use for promotion, or is it like, do they
for promotion,
release those alongside the content?
Box covers. Yeah, promotion, box covers of DVDs, which some people still make, stuff like that. You sit around, when it's finally time to shoot, you do your, it's girly stuff. And girly stuff means go clean your pussy, douche out if you need to, do an enema.
Girly stuff and also pretty girls.
I know. It's very, it's old terminology.
Very, yes. It sounds like, some guy in the 70s came up with that.
And it stuck. And we just keep using it. But, so you douche, if you're on your period, you definitely like at least rinse out with some water. And then what we do is like just like twist up a little like makeup sponge, like the basic like little triangular ones. And that does not let anything come through for the duration of the scene.
And you put that in your vagina?
Yeah.
Gotcha. And do you put one in your butt too if you're doing that stuff?
No.
Okay. Because I feel like it would get lost up there for sure.
For sure. No, that's the enema takes care of that. You have to be conscious of your diet beforehand. But
right.
Because if there's any blood on camera, that is obscenity and that can earn jail time. Like,
that is so fucking stupid. Oh my God. I mean, I understand, but like, no, I don't.
No, obscenity? It's bullshit. I am legally allowed to take 4 dicks in my ass if I want to, but oh my God, my natural body doing its natural thing that like literally nobody on this planet would exist if that didn't happen. Like,
yeah.
Cool guys. Great, great approach. 10
Holy
out of 10.
Holy shit. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. These little nuggets of old school stuff that are, well, not only old school stuff, but also just like laws that exist.
Yeah.
I remember growing up in Texas, I found out that fellatio was considered sodomy.
Oh my God.
And which was of course illegal. Like, sodomy was illegal in Texas. And I don't know if it still is. And it's just one of those things where they're like, whatever, we don't enforce it. But it's like, wow.
That's not what butts are for.
Exactly. But like, you're not, you can't put a dick in your mouth. Really? That's illegal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, obscenity.
It's wild. I've known people who have, not many have gotten put away for it, but yeah.
Put away?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So you put the sponge up there just in case any blood comes out for any reason.
Only if you're menstruating, but yeah. And then, okay, so now it's time to shoot, right? So you go and you just, if there's a script, they've given you the script, you've been going over, trying to remember your lines, whatever. They'll shoot if there's dialogue, they'll shoot that first. And small little clips and bits, because I'm not, if I wanted to memorize scripts, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So then by now you've already gone over like what you're okay with, what you're not okay with. That's established, but you sort of go like, okay, scene by scene, like, okay, we're going to start off, pick a position, any position, just stick with that for about 5 to 10. Next, I want you to switch positions, and like the camera person will just be like, okay, it's move on to a new position or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of go through and do that. We'll do that, you know, fuck on camera, you know, just do that.
Yeah, just do that. Yeah, just whatever that is.
And then when it's time for the pop shot, it's like, we'll like pause. Sometimes just go straight into it, but sometimes pause just so that you can like really get himself ready. So it's like, let's go. And then choose where they're gonna pop. Sometimes it's actual cum. Sometimes that just doesn't make it to stage that day. So we use either Cetaphil, facial cleanser, or pina colada mix.
Guys, I'll never think about pina colada mix.
Only if it's in your mouth, like not in
totally.
Your pussy, obviously.
Yeah, just get some cloudy white stuff. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, so there's all these little in between points that aren't filmed, obviously, that are part of the sexual experience, not only for performance sake, but also for performance sake for each other, that you would do in secret or in private.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so interesting. And then afterwards, like,
you might take some sex stills. So they'll be like, okay, let's just go back through, like, you were in this position. Let's get some photos of that. This position, you know, you might do that before, you might do that after, usually after, it doesn't matter. Then you wait around and you like pack up all your shit. They hand you a check and you hit the bricks.
Wow.
And then the end of your day. The only other thing I want to mention, because I think it's really important, is that when I shoot with kink.com, which is hardcore bondage, that was fucking machines, that I've been cattle prodded on set. I've done it's very hardcore. Mm-hmm. When you get there, they have a list. You have to sign, you have to acknowledge and sign your model rights, like your rights as a model, including your right to end the scene and go home. And if you need to do that, we want you to do that, and we'll pay you for whatever percentage you've completed that day. So it's not like you're going to leave with nothing.
Right.
And also a huge list of what you're like, every sex act you can think of, even if it's not relevant to the scene today, on a scale of absolutely not to, yeah, that's fine, to, I would be really bummed out if this didn't happen today. Including things like, here are names that like I am cool, or that I like to be called. Here are names that if you call me this, it's it's a no deal.
Yeah.
Here, even just words like, okay, you can call me slutty, but if you call me fat, that's gonna really fuck up my mental health. So,
Absolutely.
and then I
It's
remember
just like
being
when you're in a real BDSM scene and you're like, "Listen, please, these are my limits." Like,
exactly. One day I was on set and their lawyer, love that lady. She just popped in and she was like, she pulled the my scene partner aside and she was like, okay, what are her limits? What is she absolutely not okay with? What are the words you can call her? What can't you say? Okay, great, you go.
wow, little
It's
quiz.
serious.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, kink.com is one of those ones where that was the first time I ever saw actual interviews with the performers. I think was there was it was before or after. I think it was after, where it was like, and then we did that, and how was that for you? And kind of, I was like, oh, I
Yeah, they
love
want to.
this. I love getting to see her recover, and she's okay, and because it sometimes at the end of masturbation, when you've just seen something that you don't know how you ended up there, you're just like, oh my God, this that actually that was so fucked up, or something. Like, you're just like, I have never seen anything like that. I didn't know that I liked that, and now I feel weird. And just having seen those moments of like people just sort of integrating almost it. Integrating the experience, or just like, yeah, regrouping. It was really
Yeah,
sweet,
it kind of, I
I
think
thought.
when you see something really hardcore like that, it's important to remind people that this is a professional environment and we are treating these people as
Yes.
professionals because they are.
Right. And that, like, it's fun to watch. Like, I know I'm. As a person who has been like a service industry person, like people love it when you're flirting with them, right? So it's easy to be like, this person likes me. Or like with sex workers, it's like, this is where I'm coming around to this weird question where I'm like, do you enjoy it? Like, are you liking it? Like, I'm hoping as a customer or as a client or as an observer, as a viewer, that they're really loving it. Are you usually or sometimes liking
Sometimes
it?
it's just like any other job. Sometimes, like for example, my friend Sinsage, one of my besties, we don't have sex on camera. We make love. Like you can see our chemistry. She and I, without fit, it's plus I'm
Wow.
hanging out with my best friend and being paid for it. And hey, we get to fuck each other and we know how to fuck each other and we like each other. And it's not awkward because we're besties. So like
Right.
this is just our job. So if I'm working with someone who I know and is my friend or whatever, I have fun. If I'm working with someone I don't know, I don't always have the best time. I don't have the worst time.
Yeah, it's just like you just don't have chemistry sometimes. And it's just like, well, I'll just
Yeah,
go
and I
for
just
it. Yeah.
try to do a good performance and not make it seem like I'm not. I mean, again, I'm having sex with a sexual Olympian. It could be worse.
Yes. Totally. I was gonna ask, you said the first thing that you did was that bondage modeling. And I wondered, is there a reason why you went for bondage? Is that something you were interested in outside of
I
that?
had even worse ideas about bondage. And that was sort of, but the thing was,
Interesting.
it was part of it was I just found the gig, and I didn't have to be naked because I hadn't shot any nudes yet. So I liked that
Right.
it was technically, I mean, it's porn, but like I was wearing like cute outfits
Yeah.
from Forever 21.
Right. Okay. So that's kind of why you chose that. But then it kind of
Yeah,
opened a door for you
absolutely.
a little. When you did the experience, you were like, oh,
Yeah.
this isn't bad. Being tied up, not
Exactly.
so
It
bad.
was fun.
So where do you see this going for you? Do you have, like, I know you've got so many exciting plans with technology and all of that, but do you think that you'll do this for a long time?
Yeah, I very even more specifically, not just adult industry, but VR. Adult is it's just where that's where I live, that's where I thrive. I've worked for a couple of other like non-VR adult companies, and I just like I'm not putting as much English on the ball because like I'm known for VR porn. Like I'm the queen of VR porn. I did TED Talk about it. So
Oh,
I Vero PlaySpace is not, I mean, it's a company that I work for, but the team is just amazing. They lift each other up. We give a shit about each other. We check in with each other. We like, it's just a really, really good group of people that is cons that consists of everyone on the team has been working in VR since day one, which is very rare. So I want to keep working with them as long as they'll have me. And I'm kind of getting back into OnlyFans. I'm just about to, hey, join my OnlyFans. It's onlyfans.com/Ella Darling, ELA Darling, and it's free to subscribe. But
Did you hear that, guys? Free to subscribe. I actually don't know a lot of OnlyFans like that where you can just
yeah,
subscribe
I
for
mean, I
free.
post a
I love
photo
that.
most like almost every day, usually something not too hardcore because, paywall.
Just horny Instagram. Yeah, you
But
absolutely should charge.
I just recently shot the first content with a penis that I've shot since 2016, and I'm about to release that. Yeah,
Oh my
and there's
God.
very, very little content of that out there with me because I only did that for like a year because I'm just not that fucking straight.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, is that your sexual leaning in general is
Generally
towards
towards
women?
women, but I tend
Yeah.
to be more romantically attracted to men, and that person, whoever my person is like very, very top, number one and only have eyes for you.
Well, that's exciting. Are you excited to do
I'm
dick porn again?
excited that I have someone who I enjoy doing dick porn with.
Oh, that's very sweet. Well, that is something to look forward to. Is that going to be on your OnlyFans or is that on
It'll
Vero Space,
be on my
Vero Play Space?
OnlyFans. I'll probably drop the first part of the clip in the next week or so, but I will probably add it as a post that lives there. So if you don't subscribe in time to get the private message, you'll at least be able to access it through a post if you want to find it. So
Okay, great. Good to know. Everyone's like taking vigorous notes right now.
vigorously doing something all the time.
Yes, vigor. Exactly. Oh my goodness. Well, is there anything we didn't cover? Like, I feel like that was very comprehensive.
I think we need to have a part two sometime down the road.
I would love to. I really, really, really appreciate you doing this. Like, this conversation was so interesting to me, and I cannot believe that I haven't gotten to have this conversation
I can't
before
either. You live in
now.
LA. Oh.
I know. What am I doing? I'm like in the middle of a rose garden and just being like, "Where are the flowers?" Yes, exactly. Oh boy. Ella, you're a darling. Has anyone ever said that?
It's fresh and new and rewarding every time.
Oh, thank God. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and I cannot wait to have you
Oh,
back.
thank
And good
you
luck.
too. Thank you so much.
Thanks. And audience, keep squirting.